There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special.
Live from the VIP area at the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Hashtag Run Wild.
Okie dokie, what's going on in the world of sport? Let's get some live updates. Let's start in the Premier League. CVR, give us an update.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, 74 minutes played. Chelsea taking on Newcastle. Chelsea 3. Newcastle 1.
So Chelsea extending that lead in that one. Still 15 minutes left on that one for you. There's rugby ongoing as well, not just down here in Dubai, where it's the final day of the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Wales leading Uganda by 14 points to nil in the first half, but there's also club rugby around the world.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you, starting with the top 14 in France, it's La Rochelle taking on Montpellier. La Rochelle leading them 6 points to 3. In the Guinness Pro 14, Zebra are taking on Connacht Eagles. They leading 3 points to 0. Exeter Chiefs have just kicked off against Bath. That score still 0-0.
We are obviously going to stick with the rugby down here until the culmination of the final. But worry not, football fans. You've still got Premier League action coming your way a little later here, later on here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Our feature game from 7 o'clock this evening is Brighton against Liverpool in the Prem. And our man who's going to be calling it is our friend Adam Bridge. Joins us live on the line now. And Adam, I understand from a couple of the messages coming out of Brighton at the moment that there are a number of changes team-wise for Liverpool at least.
There are, yeah, afternoon. We're looking at 6 in total. Obviously, he did make a few changes in midweek in the victory against Stoke. Obviously, Salah was one of the players he chose to rest at the weekend. Obviously, he's come back in. But the changes see Gomez, you know, Matip was out injured, Moreno, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Mane and Solanke all drop out of the starting 11 for Liverpool. In come Trent Alexander-Arnold, the lesser-spotted Andy Robertson, who's not been seen for a fair while, James Milner, Jordan Henderson, Philippe Coutinho and Mo Salah, who is returning to the starting 11 today. So, yes, 6 changes in total. Much changed Liverpool side as he looks to try and manage, obviously, the workload ahead of Champions League action in midweek and the fact we've had midweek Premier League action as well. But you'd expect that Liverpool would have a squad that could probably cope with it, wouldn't you?
Let's talk Liverpool for a moment because we know well that the goals are flying in at one end. One of the big talking points throughout the season has been the leaking of goals at the other end, but they seem to have plugged that gap momentarily.
Yeah, they have. I mean, if you think since that defeat against Spurs, which was a chastening defeat at Wembley, of course, they've taken 13 points out of the last 15. So they've been fairly impressive since then, and that has been the key to it. It's been the fact that all of a sudden they have started to keep clean sheets, and they've started to look a little bit more solid at the back. Now, you're only concerned, of course, with Matip picking up this injury. We aren't yet aware of how long he's going to be out for. It means today we've got Emre Can, who is going to play as the centre-half alongside Dejan Lovren. So that's the kind of the shocking part of that team news. It looks like Emre Can will slot in alongside Lovren at the heart. So Klavan is available, but he doesn't fancy him. He's left him on the bench today. So that's going to be their problem. Can this much changed back line without Moreno? Maybe that's part of the reason that Robertson's gone in there today. I don't know. Maybe that's to potentially cover up the fact that we have got Can playing at the back. But he's also got one eye on that Champions League game in midweek as well, that's for sure. But they've certainly been much more solid at the back in recent weeks.
Adam, a quick word about the Premier League's top scorer, Mo Salah. 12 goals this season, including 7 in his last 4 games. For many people, Mo Salah, so far, is the player of the season. Just a quick word about his form and how his goals have really started to find some momentum for Liverpool.
So he's the perfect example, isn't he, of how pace terrifies defenders, because every time he's got the ball to his feet, you know he has one thing on his mind, and that is to head towards goal, and he does it at such a tempo. Not his player of the season, I think, you know, most people would argue that that's a toss-up probably between him and Kevin De Bruyne at the moment, but certainly the purchase of the summer, there's no doubt that he's the best buy that anyone made, I think, in that summer window that's certainly changed the team and contributed to a side. And here's a player, of course, another one, who just didn't really fit in with Jose Mourinho in some way, shape or form, didn't really have what it takes, and yet the two best players in the Premier League this season are two of Mourinho's rejects. But, I mean, he's been outstanding. He just has a completely different dimension to Liverpool, and we always talk about the fact they don't kind of almost play with that natural striker. It's a collection of forwards who do the work. But the way that he plays and the creativeness and the pace that he adds, I mean, he's just brought a different dimension to Liverpool going forward.
Adam, looking at Brighton, they've been pretty successful on home turf. Do you see them continuing with that success this afternoon?
Well, they haven't been beaten since the opening day, of course, when in the tea-time kick-off, Manchester City put them to the sword. But they have drawn four of their last five at home. And, you know, you go through this process of settling down when you're new to the Premier League. I mean, it's the first time that they, Liverpool, have gone head-to-head in the league since 1983. So there's a massive bit of history. We saw last week against Manchester United, they more than can compete. They certainly deserved the point last week. I think the difference today will probably be some of the direct play of Liverpool, which may cause them problems, because when you look at that back line, you know, Bruno is 37 years of age now. Duffy and Dunk have looked fairly solid. How they'll be against a really mobile Salah and Coutinho and Firmino, I think will be the challenge. I mean, they have brought in Izzy Brown today, who's going to play out wide. Aside from that, it's as you would probably expect, with Connaught, Cart, Stevens and Proper in the middle. But what you are seeing is five or six of these players have played every minute of every Premier League game, and you start to wonder if the intensity and the pace of the Premier League might start to take its toll at some point when they are lacking a bit of depth in their squad.
Adam, we're into December now. The Premier League fixtures start coming thick and fast. It seems as though the so-called big four or five clubs have got some momentum, have got a bit of a winning form at the moment. But just looking ahead to the late kickoff this afternoon or this evening in the UK, Arsenal at home to Manchester United. Massive, massive fixture, really, in the top couple of four places in the Premier League. Just what are your quick thoughts about this match?
Yeah, once you say, with the exception of Spurs at the moment, the cream appears to be rising to the top. They are having a bit of a struggle. But you look at the top five and you see City and United and Chelsea and Arsenal and Liverpool, and it kind of all makes sense, really, doesn't it? It's an interesting one today, isn't it? Because what we've seen from Mourinho in these fixtures over the last year and a half, in fact, you know, even if you want to go back 5, 6, 7 years with Mourinho, what we see is a very cautious approach when he's playing teams and around the top six when he's away from home. He will generally be a little bit more defensive, and he's looking to walk away with a 1-0 win. He can't afford to be too defensive today. If any of those teams of the top six, I think Arsenal is potentially the one where he may throw a little bit more caution to the wind. And bearing in mind that everyone's taken the abacus to the Etihad tomorrow to see how many Man City can score against West Ham, you know, Manchester United cannot afford to not win that game of football today. The scenario with Chelsea winning as they are at the moment, obviously that puts them 8 points behind. United cannot not win against Arsenal today if they are to be at all serious challenges to Manchester City. So I think we're going to see a fairly open game in the late game today, and I think we may just see for once Mourinho not park the bus.
We've got the chalkboard out. We're ready to chalk up Adam Bridge's prediction for our feature game, Brighton against Liverpool. Which way is it going to go, Mr. Bridge?
It's going to be a comfortable win for Liverpool, I think, today.
Chalked that one up for you. We will, of course, be touching base with you in the coming weeks to see how all the predictions have fared. For now, though, Adam, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for your time.
No worries, guys. Take care.
Good to hear from Adam Bridge there. We will be joining him just a little bit later on for coverage of Brighton against Liverpool. Has that game, Chelsea game, come to a conclusion yet, CVR, or are we still playing?
Tom, they are still playing. What I can tell you is that currently Chelsea are still leading 3-1, 84th minute, so they've got about 6 and a bit minutes left.
3 minutes remaining in Wales against Uganda. The African team just gone over the white line for the first time. It's Wales, though, with a dominant lead. 3 minutes remaining in this game. This is the match for 13th place. We're into the second half. Let's catch up with match commentary before we catch up with Robbie Greenfield, Graham Clues, and the rest of the team pitch side afterwards.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special.
Live from the VIP area at the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Hashtag Run Wild.
We're talking about Ethan Davis's accuracy with the boot, and look at that. Third on their point scoring list. That's been overthrown at the line out. That's a chip over the top from Okia again, he regathers. Okia, look at him go. He loves the chip and chase. Looking for his ninth try in Dubai. Wales have got back and they've won the penalty.
It's not all about tries. Not all about tries. Will Talbot-Davis, phenomenal track back. He did not give up. You see that desperation in his face. He makes a tackle. But the vital part is the speed at which he's back to his feet. He releases the player, which he has to do, and he's got his hands back on the ball. The support from Uganda, not quite quick enough.
Not only that, the new regulation in rugby at the moment where you can't pick the ball straight up. You have to go through the gate. You have to get behind. He did that brilliantly, didn't he? That was copybook stuff with the new interpretation.
Yeah, really positive, encouraging stuff, especially for Gareth Williams taking this young team into Cape Town next week.
Wales finished 10th on the World Series last time out. Nice short line out working well for Wales. We tick inside the final minute. Pretty clear from Rasta Rasavengi.
You'll see the difference here. There has to be a clear release.
Yeah, perfect contrast from what Will Talbot-Davis did a few moments earlier. Wales looking for another try. Just 10 seconds left. 19-7 in this 13th place final. Building up to the main event later on tonight here in Dubai between New Zealand and South Africa, but they're bursting through again. It's Tommy Lewis. Tommy Lewis is away again. Oh, that's wonderful. This kid can play, and he has bagged himself a hat-trick. What a finish from Tommy Lewis.
What feed from Tommy Lewis. Bang, off the right, and he's got acceleration too. That is his best of the night. He didn't lose any pace whilst manipulating the defender. You can see his eyes go one way, sold him with the eyes. He looked left, and just that slight swerve back to the right. Defender didn't even get a finger on him. He's a silky customer, this guy.
Conversion successful from right in front, and that will do it. It has been the Tommy Lewis show.
So congratulations to the Wales team too, for they've gone through against Uganda. That for the 13th place playoff. Let's go pitch side now. We've got Robbie Greenfield, Graham Clues, the rest of the team watching this one for us.
Yes, indeed, Tom. Impressive stuff from Wales. Not the match they wanted to be in, I think it's fair to say. Last year's semi-finalists, and, well, they had to settle for 13th place following a convincing victory over Uganda. 26-7 the margin in the end. Tommy Lewis ran in a spectacular try to put a cap on a wonderful individual performance. But, Graham, Wales will go back to the drawing board and probably look to put in a better performance in Cape Town.
It's interesting when you think that Wales won the Sevens World Cup here, 2009, right here in the Sevens Stadium. And they just haven't really kicked on as a Sevens team since then. They've had highlights, but, you know, when you find yourself in the 13th place playoff, it doesn't show much progress with Wales Sevens rugby. Uganda, though, a word about them, invitational team that have come here, and they certainly haven't disgraced themselves. Very, very powerful athletes in the team. They could have nicked a few results, certainly could have scored a few tries more against Wales, just as we saw on the pitch. They're going to be ones to watch. Exciting to watch Uganda. They're a good, fun team.
And again, illustrative of the growth of the Dubai Rugby, or the Dubai Rugby Sevens, but Rugby Sevens in general as a code. And speaking of that, we're looking ahead now to the Challenge Trophy final between France and Spain. Spain also relative newcomers to the Sevens code. And interesting, France never really performing at a high level in Sevens, but following that consultancy with Ben Ryan, who of course led England to victory here, he led Fiji to the Olympic gold medal, he'll have had an impact on the French Sevens team, and I'm sure that, well, they'll start to head a little bit more in the right direction, Graham.
Yeah, that's probably going to take a while, isn't it? I mean, the next Sevens, when France are here, we'll probably see the results of what Ben Ryan's been doing with them. Spain are very interesting. We're quite used to, we used to have Portugal here quite a few years, didn't we? And they've dropped out, and Spain have come in to take a place in the Sevens series. It'll be interesting to see them grow over time. Spain, as we know, are dominant in other sports, but rugby is relatively relatively new to them, and certainly the Sevens game is relatively new. So they've done pretty well. I mean, when you think they've arrived here in Dubai, they weren't in the 13th place playoff. They're in the Challenge Trophy final. They could go home with a bit of silverware.
So that is the match we're looking forward to. 6:19, that one gets underway in just a few moments' time, in fact. 2 minutes, and well, we're not going to have time for Robbie Williams and his black sequin jacket. I think
he
we're going to have to wait
so hard this
for
weekend.
A few minutes. He has been on overtime, that man. So congratulations to Robbie and the performances that he's been putting in the middle of the pitch.
Do you think he flew out to see Take That and say, could I just come on? Take That said no. He said, I would imagine
he was heckling Take That over at the amphitheatre over in Media City that Take That performed the other day. The players are out on the pitch. It's France against Spain. My money is on France, but let's see how this one progresses. The teams are gathered, huddled in the middle of the pitch now, and we're awaiting kickoff in just around about a minute's time. We'll throw back to you boys over in the VIP booth.
Thanks very much indeed. More from Robbie, Graham and the rest of the team in just a few moments' time. Chelsea have beaten Newcastle for all intents and purposes. We're into injury time there. Chelsea leading Newcastle by 3-1 at the moment. What's happening in the rugby? Let's get the latest from CVR.
Yeah, Tom, there's a lot happening. Three games are currently happening. It's in the top 14 in France. We've got La Rochelle taking on Montpellier. They're leading that one 13-3, 32 minutes played. In the Guinness Pro 14, Zebre are taking a Cognac. They are leading 6-0. Exeter taking on Bath in the Aviva Premiership, and currently Exeter are leading them 14-0.
Thanks very much indeed. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will have more live sport for you. France taking on Spain in the trophy final. First half just getting underway.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special.
Live from the VIP area at the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Hashtag Run Wild.
Let's give you some sporting updates for all the sports that's going on around the globe. Let's do Chelsea against Newcastle. That one's just come to a conclusion. 3 minutes of extra time just played there. Chelsea taking on Newcastle. And after Newcastle scoring the first goal in this one, it's Chelsea who's going to take the points. They lead by 3-1. We've got live rugby for you as well in the Guinness Pro 12 and the Aviva Prem.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is starting with the Aviva Prem, it's Exeter taking on Bath. They're currently leading 14-0, 21 minutes played there. Guinness Pro 14, Zebre taking on Cognac. They are leading 6-0. And then, of course, the top 14 in France, La Rochelle taking on Montpellier. La Rochelle leading that one 13-3.
Trophy final ongoing down here in Dubai at the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. We're coming into the business end of the tournament as we're coming to a conclusion in all the main games. France taking on Spain, what's the latest, CVR?
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Tom, it's France 7, Spain 0, and there's about 4 minutes left in the first half.
Mark Archer has given us stumps reports a little earlier on. Just give a quick reminder how it finished on day one of the Ashes.
Yeah, day one of the second Ashes test down in the Adelaide Oval. Day-night cricket test match. This is the pink ball is in action. England won the toss earlier day. They elected to bowl first, and it stumps. Australia have had probably slightly the better day, 209-4. So it's fair to say the match is delicately poised between the two teams. Big wicket of the Australian captain just before stumps, bowled by the debutant for England, Craig Overton, for 40. Not out for Australia. Peter Hanscom on 36 not out. Sean Marsh on 20 not out. So it's fair to say it's in the balance this match, though. Australia probably slightly happier with their day's work on a rain-delayed day at Adelaide. But it stumps Australia 209-4. All to play for in the first session tomorrow, Tom. It's going to be a really important session for both teams, particularly England trying to get their way back into the five test match series. So it stumps Australia 209-4.
Second round of the FA Cup underway today as well. Notts County in action against Oxford City in the early kickoff, and it's 2 apiece in that one. We're in extra time with Notts County and Oxford City locked at 2-2. Also had an early result from La Liga earlier today, where Barcelona were in action in one of the early kickoffs over in Spain. Plenty of games to look forward to across all the major leagues. But Barcelona didn't take all the points today. It's finished 2-2. So Barcelona have to do with sharing the points with Celta Vigo.
Yeah, quite a surprise, Tom. You know, you would expect this to be quite an easy game for Barcelona. But as you say, sharing the spoils there. And I guess this plays into the hands of Real Madrid, who've had a bit of a slow start to the La Liga season.
Atletico Madrid take on Real Sociedad. That one kicking off at 7:15 this evening. Sevilla in action against Deportivo. That one's a 9:30 kickoff. And nice and late at 11:45 this evening. Athletic Bilbao taking on Real Madrid. Let's get back to the rugby then. That's where we are broadcasting live from. Down here in the village area, getting ready for the finals. A sense of anticipation down here at the moment. France are in action against Spain in their rather interesting French outfits, which I can only sort of describe as, well, almost dungaree-like. It's almost like they've been inspired by dungarees.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much it's inspired them, because they haven't really had the best results this weekend, Tom. But as you say, yeah, dungaree-like. I think it's a good word.
We'll take that. Right, let's get some final thoughts on this one. Let's go over to the match commentary. France taking on Spain. France leading Spain by 14 points to nil.
Talk about Barak there. You see Barak went for that gamble line on the outside for the offload. It meant he lost that support. The Spanish won the race. And once they're over ball, you're not going to be able to clear that man. It's a good turnover for the Spanish.
For those of you joining us for the first time, we know the world is watching, and tremendous initiative by World Rugby to present the trophy final, which is pretty much, it just cleans the slate after day one. And that's the reason why you see France, who lost all three matches, come into this game with a possibility of taking home some silverware. As Carrion goes to the line, now Plap, he's got real pace and is able to break away. Martin, that was actually a high shot in on Martin. So the two Martins are on in jerseys 3 and 8. Signs Tafanga, a real advantage for them. And so they look so much alike, don't they? For Spain and Martin and Pla, the two flyers.
The Spanish need to get in their game. They're a passing team. They do well by moving the ball from left to right, left to right. They tire out the defence that they're against, and then they pick their moment. But they need that continuity. They need that passing continuity to develop and create scores.
Well, this is the first time that they've entered into enemy territory. First time inside the French red zone. Siren has sounded. Now we're into referee's time, and the next breakdown. Spain will be desperate to try and open their accounts. Ignacio Martin goes high as always. Nice ball out the back. The dummy here into the contact goes Genoa, the captain. They'll get the penalty and they'll tap and go. Tafanga needs a runner, needs some support. Here comes Carter. France looking for the turnover. Another penalty, not 10. They tap and get on with the game. Spain want to try and play at a pace. And there's going to be a yellow card, so that'll make it 6-on-7. Spain have to score now. They tap. Genoa gives it out to Martin. One more pass. Finally, can they get there? Just short. There is Ignacio Martin. Carter at first receiver. The counter-ruck comes in from France. Then they storm in, picking up and going. No try. Tremendous defense from France.
Yeah, great defense from France. They were lucky, though. Berendamu stuck that hand out to go for the intercept. Fortunately, the Spanish caught it, because if that had gone to deck, the way the New York
watching
run,
the game unfold down here, it's just coming into half time, so we'll just break away from it as the two European powerhouses that are France and Spain go at it on the main pitch. This is the trophy final, is that right? It is the trophy final, isn't it? Yeah, it's trophy final. We're all looking at each other going, is it the trophy final? It's one of the finals. I get so confused between trophies and bowls and plates and challenges and cups.
Some crockery they're playing for, Tom.
Help me out here, fellas. Yeah, Archer's a ditch tool. He's just shaking his head.
If it was a football match, it'd be massive, wouldn't it? But Spain versus France for the... I think this must be around like the sixth
be
or seventh,
what you say here,
seventh
right,
or eighth
here,
playoff
right.
match. It's very important in the world rankings, HSBC World Ranking Series.
Yeah, it is very important. I mean, all these games are important for these guys, obviously, to move through the next tournament. Arch, to be perfectly honest, France have been very disappointing in this tournament.
Yeah, they never seem to have really taken massively to the sevens game over the years. And they got you think that the way they play, their culture of their rugby, their style, their free-flowing sort of systematics that they've adopted would lend itself nicely to the sevens format, but they've never seemed to place too much of a priority like some of the other countries, whether it be England or South Africa or Australia, New Zealand or Fiji, haven't placed as much impetus on sevens rugby for whatever reason that may be. So, yeah, I mean, they're there, they're competing, but they don't seem to win or be that successful at the very top end of these tournaments, Carl.
Absolutely. So,
I don't know why Carl's watching over there, but
I was just trying to get an update on the score, Tom.
Oh, we've got the updates because the Wales game is kicking off any minute now.
That is what exactly what I was doing when Arch caught me a bit offside. Yeah, Wales kicking off against South Africa. That game, of course, happening in Cardiff. We've got in the Vivi Premiership, Exeter Chiefs taking on Bath. Leading 14 points to 0. Cognac has just scored a try. They lead Zebre 7 points to 6. And then the top 14, La Rochelle taking on Montpellier, and they're leading that one 16 points to 6, Tom.
We're looking forward to this one. It's going to be a nice culmination to the autumn internationals. Wales against South Africa is about to get underway in the 15s code. Plus, of course, we know who is going to make it into the final or who is going to play in the final down here in Dubai. It's going to be Carlos van Rosenfeld, South Africa, against Mark Archer's New Zealand. In fact, why don't we just have an arm wrestle now and try and sort it out between you two?
Because I've got about as much chance of winning that as I've probably got the All Black Sevens team beating South Africa in a couple of hours' time.
Not confident but, there, no?
No. They've struggled for form, but it's a one-off final. They really look to be running out of gas in the end of their semi-final against England. What they have done is they've had every match here has been a difficult match for them. They've had to come from behind in their pool matches. They've had to grind their way in the quarterfinal victory against Kenya. They've had to grind their way from behind against England. Maybe they've just found an extra gear here to compete in the final against South Africa. South Africa have been very impressive. Great defensive systems. They've got some star players. They've got a squad that's been together for a while. New Zealand with a couple of new faces there, a couple of veterans. I mean, South Africa, I think, overwhelming favourites before the tournament, and I think they're overwhelming favourites going into the final. That being said, it's a one-off final. It's South Africa versus New Zealand. It's the biggest rivalry in world rugby. Let's just wait and see what happens on the pitch.
Arch, have you been picking up to me in New Zealand, and I don't want to sound like I'm criticising them of any sort, but they just, to me, this year at the Sevens, just don't seem to be as fit a unit as what they've been by years before. You see guys blowing, they're not kind of playing at the same depth, they're not running onto the ball. Yes, I'm saying all these things about them, they still have made a final, but they just don't seem to be as fine-tuned from a fitness perspective as what they have been years before.
And they're going to be testing the final, I think 10 minutes for the final. You know, you've got to use your squad throughout the series, and as we're saying, New Zealand probably hasn't much of a chance to rest many players. They've had tough games through their pool. They had USA, Samoa,
Argentina,
three really tough matches against really strong sides, a tough quarterfinal against Kenya, a tougher semi-final. Every match has been tough, it's been intensive. They haven't had a 30-0, 40-0 victory, so they've had to use up a lot of their reserves to play their top players, not give as much rest to them, but that may mean they're battle-hardened, but they're going to have to find an extra wind in the final against South Africa. Supremely fit. It's tough with the first series because it's hard to replicate, as you know, Carlos, training for rugby. It's different. You can do all the training, you can do the mileage, you can run it on the practice pitch. It's not quite the same as putting it out in the middle, and it's the first tournament of the year, so the guys have had a six-month break. Who can find the gas? Who's been rested? Just who has done the real hard yards and the fitness? And South Africa look like they are the team to beat at all tournament, but let's just wait and see. It's the final. It's a one-off match. If New Zealand get a better start than they've had, and South Africa hasn't been under too much pressure, put them under pressure. Let's see how they react in the final. But let's wait and see. For me, I think South Africa favourites going into the final. They've had a tremendous record here in Dubai. I don't think New Zealand sevens team have won it since 2009. It's a foreign. It's not a happy hunting ground in recent years for the New Zealand sevens team. Let's wait and see what happens.
France taking on Spain in the trophy final. We're into the second half. We're going to go over and catch up with live commentary of the final 5.5 minutes. Straight after that, we will be giving you the final result and getting more reaction pitch side and from the commentary booth. Robbie Greenfield, Graham Clues, Chris McCarty, part of the team over there covering it for us as we just sit back and enjoy Diet Cokes and some prawn sandwiches in the hospitality area and watch it on the box. Let's get the latest then. 5 minutes remaining. France leads Spain by 14 points to nil.
From long range, from 75 metres, Fontes looking to try and find some space, gets through. Plava's there, maybe the kick option is the right one. Off to the races, the Greyhounds are chasing, and Plava can't get there.
Great work from the French. Somebody I've been really impressed with is Mazzolini. You know, he's playing sweeper. They're still playing with a sweeper, even though they only had six men. So that means you've got five men in the front line. He's got to act like a pendulum. If it goes right, he's got to cover right and cover that last man. If it goes left, he's got to cover that left. He's also got to cover the kick. To do that, you've got to be extremely fit. And just to say that, now they're back to seven. I think he's earned his rest and he's coming off onto the bench.
Oh, the tremendous defence from the French. They've had to battle for 2 minutes with just the six players and they haven't conceded any points, but a good field position and good attacking opportunity for Spain. Fontes feeds it, gets it back, and they get it out to Carrion, runs across out to Pla. Pla beats the first, then puts down the hammer. Can't get away from the tackle, though, of Barak. Can't steal the ball, the French. Spain couldn't score against the French six when they were down to six. Now they've got seven, and big hit coming in from Vera Damu. Spain prepared to go back 40 metres to then go forward through Carrion. Carrion looking for a runner, finds Pierce. Pierce goes down Broadway and Pierce will score.
Great recognition from Pierce there. You see Vern Damu, he's a big man, he's tiring. They've been really cohesive, the French defence, but you could see he was out on his feet and he struggled to connect with the man inside him, and that created that hole. But it has been impressive for the French, considering they were down to six men. They're working really hard together. Last year, at times at this stage of the tournament, they switched off, you know, and there would be a lot of opportunities, but they've been a really cohesive unit so far defensively.
Conversion successful and showing the quality of experience. Javier Carrion was playing out on the left-hand flank, come running across on the angle, and Pierce took a short ball. And finally, Spain open their account. It's taken nearly 12 minutes and now the high restart. Martin goes up and competes again. It's hit down by Veredamu. They're going backwards, other French. Straight off the feet. You can hear him, they're throwing the ball away, so he's going to go to the bin. So the French are going to spend another 2 minutes down with six players. Ill discipline.
Yeah, definitely ill discipline. Ill discipline. They know as a support player, you cannot seal the ball off. You have to stay on your feet. You can't be using your hands to support your body weight. Also, if there is a penalty, you have to put the ball down instantly.
France 11th in 2016. They won the trophy here 12 months ago. And now Spain looking to try and draw level. There's the try scorer, Pierce. Quickly the support arrives and now it's cleared from Hernandez. Fontes, the two small playmakers getting involved. Now out to Pla, the speedster. Good work there from Martin to get in. Pierce runs backwards. Into the contact they go. And just holding. That's what some of the players do now, don't they? Instead of actually making an effort to try and win the ball, they kind of flop as Fontes throws a money ball out to the wing, to the corner. Wonderful defence. It was Daldor that came across. And have a look, they showed him the sideline copybook.
Yeah, he used the touchline as that extra defender. He knew he had his angle right, so the man couldn't step back in. He had to go for the try, and he had the pace. Daudau had the pace to make that cover tackle, and that might win them the game. You never know.
Well, Spain can't seem to score against six players from France. France come back to seven. Spain score. Now they've only got six, and so time is back on. Look for them to hoist the tall frame of Pierce. He'll be lifted here and wins it with ease. They loop around Fontes out to Hernandez. He's got a player on the outside. Into the contact they go. They really need to get this ball out, Spain. They do. They come to the left. Two on one. Pierce has scored one. Pierce picks up a double.
Great fight in the contact from Thomas Pierce. You can see he's got that ball. He's using his fend, but he's got the awareness and the upper body strength to dot that ball down. Good defence from the French, so they've managed to keep him out wide. They've made that kick slightly harder, and it might come down to a conversion. Still 2 points in it.
this to draw level, and tremendous effort by the in-goal assistant referee to get in the position to see it forced and to then acknowledge to the referee it was certainly down. This to draw level, it's still 2 points though. And France again will come back to seven.
Yeah, the Spanish will take their time with this restart here. They've got to make it a contestable. They've got to get somebody in the air and see if they can win this back to give them one last chance. Remember, it's only 2 points. A penalty will also win them this match.
Great start for the new season for Spain. Chance to win a trophy. France trying to defend their title that they won here 12 months ago. The bounce of the ball, all important. And Hernandez has the ball. They're going to try and hold him up, but it's been lost forward first. Still time to play. Last chance saloon for the Spanish.
Intelligent play from the Spanish. They're utilizing Ignacio Martin. He's got great height. He's also a good jumper, and he's used to going for those kickoffs, and they put it on a plate for him, knocked it back, and they've got one last chance. That's a hooter there. So this is the last chance for them.
Can they go 75 meters? The Spanish up to Plap. Lovely footwork. Gets through the half gap. That's the halfway line you can see. And Andes is in ever so quickly. Fontes with a lovely ball out to Pierce, who just straightens the line, comes back into where the heavy traffic is. They think about counter-ruck to the French, and they opt to just let Hernandez win the ball. Martin gets there quickly to secure possession. De Juan is on in jersey number 10 for the Spanish. Pla beats one, looking for the steal. Ruck is set, so the offside line is also set for the French. Pass, it bounces. Hernandez and some footwork. The French have kicked it through, and the French are going to score courtesy of Tavete Veledamu on debut. Picks up his fifth in Dubai. Well, he doesn't. He passes. So Riva gets a double.
Yeah, a very fitting end to the French's weekend. They've only got better and better. And Veledamu shows that he's not all about scoring tries. He's a team player. And for his first tournament, he's at a brilliant, brilliant first tournament for the French side. Well, they rolled the...
Looks like the conversion will be converted, scoring under the points there for the French team. So it is France who will run out the winners in the trophy final. 21 points to 12. Let's go pitch side where Robbie Greenfield's been watching this one for us this afternoon. Robbie.
Yeah, Tom, impressive stuff that from the French. They weathered a Spanish storm in the second half. It looked for all the world that Spain were going to nick it close to the death, but France weathered that storm, managed to break, and as we heard in the commentary, Tavete Veledamu was the hero with a kick-through converted try, and well, it was the very Spanish-sounding Thomas Pierce who did much of the damage in that second half for Spain, Graham Clues alongside me, but wasn't to be for the Spaniards in the end.
Really impressed by Spain, though. Really went for it. France had a few discipline problems there with a couple of guys in the sin bin. Spain kind of took advantage of it, really pressed hard, and when you look at the team as well, Spain are quite a small side, aren't they, compared to a lot of the sevens teams that we see out here. Really good guts from them to try and come back into it, yeah, but France, maybe their sevens pedigree isn't great, but they've been playing rugby at a high level for a longer period of time, haven't they, overall. So, yeah, I think France will come off feeling they deserve the win, but really impressed by Spain. That was great.
Impressed, but at the same time, you do see the golf in class, because that match was sprinkled with various errors, handling errors and what have you, that we haven't seen from the likes of New Zealand and South Africa over the course of this tournament. And there is a big gap to bridge for these, I would call them up-and-coming sides. France, a great rugby nation, but they haven't had the sevens pedigree, and Spain, well, new boys really on this scene.
Yeah, and also when you watch them, there's a couple of moments, milliseconds of indecision from a player. Doesn't quite know which way to pass, or should he try for a run, or should he offload it somewhere. And there's those milliseconds that the big teams, your South Africa's, your New Zealand's, they don't have those moments of indecision. As soon as they get the ball, they know what they're going to do with it, either offload it straight away or put on the afterburners and go for the try line.
So France are your Challenge Trophy champions. I'll call them champions, even though they lost all their group matches. So I'm not sure how much solace they're going to take from that. But we're building up in just 1 minute's time to the start of the fifth place playoff final. That will take place between Samoa and Australia. And looking ahead to this one, Graham, again, so Australia would have hoped for better from this tournament. Samoa, yeah, that's kind of really where we'd expected them to be.
Samoa is a bit of a surprise. Gordon Tetchens, the great Gordon Tetchens, took them over probably almost exactly a year ago now. Last year he was here watching Samoa. He wasn't actually allowed to take over as head coach. Of course, he had huge success here as the leader, really was the leader of the New Zealand team. But with Samoa, it's going to be a work in progress. To be honest with you, Robbie, I thought maybe they would have improved a bit more than they have by the time they got here under Gordon Tetchens. But hopefully we'll get to speak to him a bit later on after this match and just get his thoughts on where he's going and if they are meeting the targets he set for them in the last
year. So many issues that came to light as well with Samoan rugby that came to light in those autumn internationals with the financial difficulties that the Samoan Rugby Union Federation is facing, and of course that's going to impact on their sevens players as well. But the players now out on the pitch. Samoa, they've not gone the dungaree route. They're wearing a what can only be described as a greyish top, which is a bit odd considering that Australia are in canary yellow with green stripes. You'd have thought that the Samoa would be able to turn out in their blue colours, but that is the way they've gone. Australia, the nearest to us, near the Donata travel stand. Samoa on the DHL stand, and this match is about to get underway. It is the fifth place playoff final, and we're going to head back for now to you boys over in the commentary booth.
Cheers, lads. I think we'll be coming to you a lot more regularly in a few moments' time because we've lost connection, so we haven't got a clue what's going on in the rugby at the moment. But we will try and keep you up to date with what's going on in other rugby because Autumn Internationals underway. Wales are in action against South Africa. Let's get the latest. CBR.
Yeah, I don't really want to give you an update on this one, Tom, because 12 minutes played, South Africa are 14-0 down. I can tell you, tries by Scott Williams and Hayley Parks on his debut for Wales. Very, very scrappy defence from the South Africans, and also not being able to handle the high ball has led to these two tries. So currently, Wales 14, South Africa 0. In the Viva Premiership, Exeter Chiefs are running away with it against Bath. At halftime, they are leading Bath 28 points to 3. Zebra against Cognac, they leading that one 9-7. A very, very tight game. And then the top 14, La Rochelle taking on Montpellier, they are leading 16 points to 6.
That's one way to endear yourself to your new nation, isn't it, Mark Archer? You know, he qualifies for residency of Wales today after his 3-year stint. First 10 minutes of an international, score a try. He's never been Welsher, basically.
They'll probably give him an MBE at the end of the match for services to club and country.
Never been in any doubt whatsoever. What talk of New Zealand? He's Welsh, surely.
Yeah, Hadley Parks on debut. On the very day that he fulfilled his 3-year residency, he scores a try for Wales. So it must be a fantastic feeling for him. And Wales off to a flying start here, almost a point a minute, 14-0 against South Africa. And danger signs for South Africa. Wales don't have a great record against the Southern Hemisphere countries for a long, long time under Warren Gatland, but here's a chance. Maybe they fancy themselves a victory here, but it will test South Africa. Can they come back into this match or are Wales going to run away with it?
No, I think it's all over, to be honest with you. I mean, South Africa haven't beaten Wales in Cardiff for the last 3 years, so I think South Africa defense just a bit too shabby at the moment, and also in all the autumn internationals, they cannot handle the high ball. We don't have a fullback and wingers that seem to be comfortable under the high ball, and that's exactly how Wales score when they try. So I think it's a long, long afternoon for the Springboks.
No goals to report for you in the early kickoffs. The kickoffs in the Bundesliga. They're underway at the moment. All games kicking off at half past. No goals to report. As I say, that goal goes in. Hoffenheim have just scored against Leipzig. 60 minutes on the clock there. It's Hoffenheim 1, Leipzig 0. The other games, Werder Bremen against Stuttgart, Bayern Munich against Hannover, Bayer Leverkusen against Borussia Dortmund, Mainz against Augsburg. No goals in any of those as we speak, but as and when they go in, we will let you know. We take a short break and try and work out what's going on in the rugby.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special.
Live from the VIP area at the 2017 Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. #RunWild.
So time for us to bring you up to date with a few scores before we head on over to the main pitch where we can catch up with Samoa against Australia. A goal for Bayern Munich. They've just got on the score sheet against Hanover. Vidal scoring after 17, 20 minutes on the clock there now. It's Bayern Munich 1, Hanover 96-0. Let's go down to the Principality Stadium in the heart of Wales, over in Cardiff. Wales taking on South Africa. Let's talk to our happy South African.
Tom, not so happy, but what I can tell you is two early minute tries by Wales. Hayley Parks on his debut for Wales, scoring as well as Scott Williams. Wales currently leading South Africa 14-0. 21 minutes played there at the Principality Stadium. In the Viva Premiership, it's Exeter Chiefs that are taking on Bath. They are leading 28-3. It's half time there. In the Guinness Pro 14, it's Zebra taking on Cognac. They leading 16-10. And of course, in the top 14, we have got Montpellier taking on La Rochelle. La Rochelle leading Montpellier 16-6.
Chelsea beat Newcastle earlier on, 3-1. Newcastle with the early lead in the first half. Chelsea coming back strongly, though, to take all 3 points. They beat Newcastle by 3-1. What's coming up later on? Well, our feature match is going to be Brighton and Hove Albion against Liverpool. Also kicking off at 7 o'clock this evening, Everton against Huddersfield, Leicester City against Burnley, Stoke City against Swansea City, Watford entertain Tottenham Hotspur, West Brom are at home to Crystal Palace, and I like one here on Dubai 103.8, which you'll be able to hear live from 9:30 this evening, is an absolute cracker. Arsenal against Manchester United, Arsene Wenger against a certain Jose Mourinho. There could be fireworks on the sidelines of this particular one.
Absolutely, and that's what we're expecting, fireworks. It's a must-win game for both these teams at the moment, Tom, and you know, I think Arsenal, everybody thought they were dead and buried, but they really seem to have come back strong now. They've had a fantastic last 2 weeks. I think, you know, that 2-0 victory over Spurs kind of really got the boys motivated. Everybody's speaking about Arsenal again. And then, you know, Man United had a very good win over Watford in the week 4-2. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Jose Mourinho faces this game and what tactics he applies, because normally we all know that he's normally very, very defensive. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches the game, but as you say, it's going to be absolute humdinger.
Looking forward to that one. We had the World Cup draw yesterday as well. Mark Archer was probably present at it or something, but certainly watching on with interest to see how teams came up. England got a bit of a favourable draw, didn't they? They
seemed to have a... I mean, yeah, the only team which they really got to contend with is Belgium. So, you know, I think England and Belgium should... Well, we know what England's like, but if all goes well, England and Belgium should go through from that group. If we look at the Middle Eastern teams, Saudi Arabia, of course, drawn with Egypt in Pool A. So I think from an Egyptian perspective, I think they got a pretty good chance within that group too. And then I think in the other group we've got Spain, Portugal, and Morocco, Mark Archer, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, it sounds correct. I'm interested in this group as well, Group F. Holders Germany with Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea. That could be an interesting group. And Group E with the five-time winners Brazil. They line up alongside Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia. So interesting time in FIFA. The World Cup obviously gets underway in about 9 months' time over there in Russia. And all to play for. Now I guess all the teams start doing their research, doing their preparation to find out a bit more about their teams. England, of course, will probably have to do a bit of research on Panama. I'm sure they don't know too much about the Panama side. And probably Tunisia as well. They probably through their research there. Gareth Southgate will want to get his dot his I's, cross his T's, find out how they're going to have to play. But big tournament for England. It doesn't look as though they're probably good enough to go and win it, but they should get out of that group. Belgium are one of those teams that, if they find form, they've got so much individual talent there. We talk about it at Euros, we talk about it at World Cups. They have got some world-class players. Kevin De Bruyne, Romelu Lukaku, Thibaut Courtois in goal, Eden Hazard as well. They have got some world-class talent. Yeah. They have got the pieces to go a long way in that tournament. And if they can find the form, if they can find their teamwork, they're one of those teams that could go on and really, really go a long way deep into the FIFA World Cup. So let's wait and see. But Belgium, one of the stronger teams in Europe. Let's see how they perform next year in Russia.
What have we got for you? Well, we have got rugby coming away in just a few minutes' time. We're going to be crossing over to the boys to get the closing stages of the fifth-place playoff, which is ongoing at the moment. Samoa taking on Australia out there on the main pitch. You got a score update for me on that one, CVR?
Not at the moment. The minute it comes in, I will give you an update.
Thanks, Bella. Straight after that, we've got the bronze medal final, which is Fiji take on England. Interesting one for Ben Ryan, that two teams that he's coached in the past. And then the big one that we're building up for around about 7:30 this evening, South Africa taking on New Zealand. You'll hear it live here on Dubai I 103.8. 8. That's about it from the grill from our broadcast position. The lights have gone off down here. The TVs have been turned off because, well, they want crowds in the stadium, and quite rightly so. Why wouldn't you, for the final three games of the tournament? A lot to look forward to out there on the main pitch. And as I said, if you keep it locked here on Dubai 103.8, you will have all the information and the scores as they happen throughout the evening. Let's get a quick update from the Principality down in Wales, where Wales are taking on South Africa in the Autumn Internationals. CV to the R.
Yes, Tom, what I can tell you is it's 26 minutes played there. Wales are still leading South Africa 14 points to zero. Fantastic start by the Welsh. And what I can also update you on is on the pitch, on the main pitch here at the 7th, Samoa taking on Australia, and Australia are leading 17 points to 12.
So 17-12 into the second half of that one. As I said, we will look, we'll get the closing details on that for you, and then hand over to our extended commentary team for the remainder of the games. Grill handing on over to live coverage of the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. Mark Archer, we thank you very much indeed. Final thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Looking forward to the final. It's probably and arguably rugby's greatest rivalry as a New Zealand. I know the Springboks and South Africa are considered our greatest rivalry, so it's going to all take place on pitch one shortly. I think South Africa, the Blitzboks have been fantastic form. They will go into this match as the favourites. But New Zealand, I always like when they're underdogs, something to prove. They've got some talent there. If they can find some extra fitness and maybe peak for the final like they've been building towards, it could be a classic final. So looking forward to all the action on pitch one. Coming up shortly, it'll be South Africa taking on New Zealand, Tom.
Looking forward to that one. CVR, do the double tonight, can't you? Win the sevens here and win against Wales over in Cardiff.
Yeah, I think the one might be a bit of a far stretch, but Tom, we're really, really hoping that we can pull off the sevens tonight. I think, you know, it's one more hurdle we've got to go over. The boys have been very, very impressive. They have been the form team. So, yeah, go the Blitzboks.
Thanks very much indeed for your company this afternoon. Let's get the final stages of this fifth place playoff. It's Samoa taking on Australia. Both teams have been in, well, interesting form over the last couple of days. It's their final match. And then, of course, we've got two crackers to look forward to. Fiji against England. And then the biggie. It's New Zealand against South Africa for the 2017 title. Let's get the final thoughts, the final closing stages of Samoa against Australia.
Here in Dubai, three seasons ago, another player tempted back into the ranks by Sir Gordon Titchens, Stannard, as Australia come again. And Stannard caught in two minds there, and the big tackle coming in and forcing the penalty, quickly taken here by Tomasi Alosio. Already one try to his credit. Alamanda Mutunga pumping the legs. There will be an advantage here to Samoa, but they want more than the referee is prepared to give them at the moment, and that's Alatasi Tupou, the captain, over for his brace. Leading from the front, leading by example.
Tupou, he's got a little bit of everything. You know, the vision, you notice, no sweeper, but also the accuracy to complete that skill. It's very, very difficult. You see a lot of players going for the longer kick and chasing it. That had to be spot on to catch it on the full without breaking stride, and it's impressive. Not many people are able to do that.
He delayed the kick for a split second there and caught the Australians coming up very quickly. Now then, this kick for the lead. The kick is not good, so it stays at 17 points all. Finally poised, 2 minutes 40 or so remaining.
Yeah, good. Two cracking playmakers under Mialoy and Tupou.
Yeah, got a glimpse there, sorry, Mark, of Andy Friend, the coach. Australia reached just the one final here in Dubai, and that was in 2014, but it was one game too far for them. They were undone on that occasion by the reigning world champions and Dubai Cup holders, South Africa. And they're in the final where they'll meet New Zealand later on. Longbottom, the offload to Brandon Quinn. John Porch, fresh legs. Samoa looked to hold him up initially, but he's done well to get the ball to ground. Longbottom to Anstey, to Stannard. He's got Lucky Anderson with him. There he is. Stannard goes in to secure possession, but it's lost. They have the penalty though. Some are holding on. Stannard turning the defence one way, then the other. Well, that's experience for you. Referee just checking there.
Just so sharp of mind, James Stannard. He realises the Samoans have got to get back 10 before they can make a tackle. You've got a retreating defence, and it's just about picking your man. And Lockie Anderson, he's put in a big shift. You can see he's got really tired legs in that last carry, but he managed to get back to his feet and offer himself again. And again, it was worth it for him. He's picked up another try, and he's put his team 5 points ahead.
Stannard sucked in two defenders and open the door for Lockie Anderson, but it's still a 5 point game with 40 odd seconds to go, as Stannard's kick is wide of the mark.
Be interesting to see, do they go for competition at the kickoff, or do they kick deep and ask the Samoans to play from deep?
Well, there's your answer. Ball lands on Tila Mealoi, the man with the headgear. Well, that might be it for Samoa. Australia can well afford perhaps to go for a three-pointer here.
Yeah, it's a match-winning moment. They've got 30 seconds to use the penalty. They can tap it and kick it out on the full, or they can make the decision to go for points. But that's a match-winning moment from John Porch there, and so quick onto the ball.
Well, whichever way you look at it, they can run down the clock. This will be the final play. Tapped by James Stannard, influential James Stannard, into the grandstand it goes, and Australia have secured the fifth spot here in Dubai in the opening tournament, just as they did last year. 13 points then goes their way, 12 points to Samoa. Final score, Samoa 17, Australia 22, but they were run very close and all the way to the final whistle.
What a dramatic game of rugby that was. Australia victorious against Samoa. It's Robbie from the commentary position. We're going to be staying with you live and uninterrupted. No commercial breaks right through until the resumption and the conclusion of the Emirates Airline Dubai Rugby Sevens. It all culminates in that final at 7:33 p.m. between South Africa and New Zealand. But I can head down now pitch side, where our intrepid pitchside reporter, Graham Clues, is looking to cause some mischief, Graham.
I am. I'm lurking. You have to kind of work out at half-time who do you think is going to win, and then start trying to make eye contact with the relevant head coach to see if we're going to get anywhere. I didn't get anywhere on either counts.
The question is Andy Friend going to be your friend?
Well, I'm lurking now. Wait for the eye contact. You'll see that I'll give him the nod and the wave and the look, and he might come over. Hopefully, yes, I think he is. I think I've
grabbed
him.
There we go.
There we go. I've got Andy Friend very quickly. Andy, congratulations on that match. Coming back against Samoa like that shows great character of Australia, doesn't it?
Yeah, we were obviously disappointed that we let the two first ones in, but boys showed good character to come back. And we said after we lost to England in that quarterfinal, we wanted to finish fifth, and we've done that. So a consolation prize.
So you've achieved your goal coming here to Dubai this year?
No, we didn't actually. We really wanted to make the semi-final at the least. So we haven't completed what we wanted to, but when we got knocked out, we said, right, I've got to win the next two. So they were two tough matches against a good Kenyan side and a very good Samoan side.
But here's fifth place. It's points on the board in the World Series, and in your backyard next time out.
Yeah, we'll go to Cape Town, and then we got Sydney. So, listen, we did this last year. We came in, we came fifth. We went to Cape Town, and we were dreadful. So we've got to make sure we're better than that this year.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. We'll let you go and speak to your team. There we go. We got him there, Andy Friend. Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it, when you come here and he's quite open there saying that they didn't really come here expecting to win, and fifth place is kind of where they were looking to finish off there.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.